Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour black hole block party. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Baton Rouge to Baltimore, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you stopping on by and spending time with the dot. This is your morning mothership, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, each and every morning right here on CBS Sports Radio. And today we've got a lot to do. National championship game is in the books. LSU is your 2019 national champion. Fantastic work by the Tigers all season long. We'll talk about so many different parts of last night's game. So that's throughout the morning on Dabo, Ed Ogeron, the two quarterbacks, Joe Burrow's magical season, and much, much more. If you want to jump in on last night's national championship game, let's do it, huh? I know you guys got thoughts. I know we got college football fans all across the country, coast to coast with the most. So I want to hear from you guys after last night's LSU win over Clemson. Here it is, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or you can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, enormous baseball news. When you have one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball over the last 3 years, implicated in a major cheating scandal, enough so to where their GM and manager not only suspended for a year, but also fired, and first and second round draft picks docked for the next 2 years, plus a massive multi-million dollar fine. You've got yourself a baseball story. This is a big one. We'll talk about this coming up this hour as well, whether this taints the Astros' 2017 World Series title. Plus, it's a Trash Tuesday, and so we want to know who you're trashing. Who? What is aggravating you? What are you trashing? On the phones and on the tweets. We'll take those all morning long. Read through your tweets, DA on CBS. But of course, let's begin at the Louisiana Superdome. Last night, Joe Burrow wins the Heisman. Joe Burrow wins every game. Joe Burrow wins the national championship. Joe Burrow also sets a record for touchdowns in a season and basically rewrites the record book. Burrow did it all. And can I just start with framing this at how unlikely and unpredictable this is? You have the two-headed monster of Ed Ogeron and of Joe Burrow, who have been counted out and dismissed so many times before. Look, Ed Ogeron's been a head coach before this dance at LSU. He's been a head coach in the SEC. He's been the interim coach at USC. And all along the way, Ed Orgeron was dismissed because he didn't look like a college football CEO. He didn't stand up there at the podium, talk like Urban Meyer. He didn't have the demeanor of Nick Saban. He wasn't a young, flashy, good-looking guy like a PJ Fleck. He wasn't a force of personality like a Dabo Swinney. He didn't fit any mold. He talked like a Cajun. He walked like a Cajun. And a lot of people said along the way, well, Ed Orgeron can't be your head coach because he's a little goofy. Joe Burrow is not the starting quarterback at Ohio State. He's not the backup quarterback at Ohio State. He's not the third string quarterback at Ohio State. He is the fourth string quarterback at Ohio State. And comes into the season on nobody's radar to win the Heisman. Nobody. And we sit here today on January the 14th, and Ed Orgeron coached his butt off, and Joe Burrow played his butt off, and LSU had a season for the ages. And as for Burrow, let's call him January Joe right now. Because when the chips were on the line and his perfect season was on the line, after early frustrations, Burrow found the gear. And those early touchdown plays, big plays by LSU, were so vital. And that was Joe Burrow keeping his team and his program in a game that he was getting outplayed, and they were getting outplayed in for the first quarter and a half. Clemson had a wonderful game plan early on. Brent Venables throwing all types of crazy looks and pressure at Joe Burrow. The Clemson defense swarming, fast, aggressive. They were hyped, they were ready, and they seized the lead. And Burrow just needed one or two throws. Just one or two throws to keep his team in this game. And it just so happened those one or two throws were touchdowns. Burrow's yards, his touchdowns, his lack of interceptions, his completion percentage, his wins against top 25 foes, his wins against top 5 foes, his wins in Tuscaloosa, his first half against the Alabama Crimson Tide, his SEC championship game, his ridiculous 7-touchdown effort against Oklahoma, and then last night, the crowning jewel. Did we just see the greatest quarterback season ever? It is where we begin, your cold open.
Snap back. Joe has it. Looks. Launches towards the end zone. Adjusting. Terrace Marshall goes up. Pulls it down. Touchdown, LSU. 24-yard touchdown pass. Add another to Joe Burrow. Give Terrace Marshall his first reception for a touchdown tonight.
This team is going to be mentioned as one of the greatest teams in college football history, 15-0. One of the greatest teams in LSU history, led by some of the greatest players. Give them all the credit. But, you know, that's for you guys to decide. We're national champs. Well, we're 15-0. Whether we mention as one of the greatest teams or not, that doesn't matter to me.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Mark Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That's, of course, Ed Orgeron on your post-game podium as a winner. And let's say it like this. There's been other incredible quarterbacked seasons from a stats standpoint. Look at some of the numbers that Houston put up with a run and shoot and guys like Andre Ware back in the 80s and 90s. Look at some of the numbers that some of the BYU quarterbacks have put up. Look at some of the numbers that some of the Air Raid quarterbacks have put up. Look at some of the numbers that a guy like Tua Tagovailoa put up. You can find stats. But now you've got to go ahead and say, okay, well, who did it in a power conference like the SEC? And then who did it by never losing a game? And then who did it by winning a national championship? And then who did it by winning the Heisman and the national championship? And who did it when all of his big games, he was scintillating? Look, there's been a lot of great quarterback seasons over time, but this might be the best. It might be the best, and I'll tell you why. Because all of the games that Joe Burrow played against his top 10 opponents, he was phenomenal in. Number 9, Texas, week 2, 471 yards and 4 touchdowns and a win. Number 7, Florida, in mid-October, 293 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks and a win. Number 9, Auburn, in late October, 321 yards and a touchdown in the win. Number 3, Alabama, early November, 393 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 300 yards passing in the first half against Nick Saban's defense on the road. SEC Championship game, number 4, Georgia, 349, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Semifinal, number 4, Oklahoma, 493, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. And then the national championship game, 463, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Do you realize that in the postseason, Joe Burrow's touchdown interception ratio, 16-0. In these three playoff or postseason games, SEC championship game, and then 2 playoffs, 16 touchdowns, no interceptions. Guys, that's it. That is perfection. If that's not the greatest quarterback season in college football history, it's on a really short list. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, as a football fan, an NFL fan yourself, you feel like Burrow is a stud in the NFL?
How can you not? If you're not all in on Joe Burrow now, you're just trying to be different and trying to be hot take machine. He has the mobility that you're looking for in the current NFL quarterback. He has the accuracy. He has the arm strength. He could drop dimes on guys who are going to be playing on Sundays and on defenses everywhere. I don't know how you watch this whole season and not think, this guy's for real. This is more than a hype machine. Joe Burrow is legitimately the real deal. I'm fired up to see what he could do in the NFL.
Because we've had guys at small schools put up crazy numbers before. And when I say small schools, that's obviously in context. But teams or programs like Houston back in the day, BYU back in the day. Nowadays, your air raid offense is like in Washington State.
Colt Brennan in Hawaii.
Great. You have big numbers, eye-popping numbers. But those aren't happening at Power 5 programs, or they're not happening at Power 5 programs that are competing with top-end, upper-echelon NFL talent. Then you combine that with having to be perfect every single week and never having an off day, and then you combine that with having your best days against the best teams you play. It's just hard to argue that this wouldn't translate. I don't know what you would say, like, oh, that doesn't translate. Every part of what he did, he leaves no holes in his resume.
Right, and also, it shouldn't be forgotten that this isn't like this is his fourth year at this college where he just sat there and learned the system. This is a guy that transferred from Ohio State, had to come into this situation, picked it up, and it's not just talent. He's changing plays at the line of scrimmage, running an offense like he's been in the NFL for 10 years. Meanwhile, he's only his first year starting at LSU. It's big time. He is big time in every shape, way, or form. And again, that mobility factor, too, that I mentioned, shouldn't be understood. There were moments last night, third down, second down, pass rush breaks down, his offensive line, which was great all year, not perfect, and he finds a way to escape and make a play. That is exactly what you're looking for in the modern NFL quarterback. He is, to me, as perfect a prospect as we've seen in the last 5 years coming out, and it just kind of burst out of the scene out of nowhere.
So I loved last night that Joe Burrow never got out of sorts. There was a couple of drives early in this game where the Clemson defense was phenomenal. They were flying around,
mixing up looks on him.
And I said, oh boy, he could go into the tank here because everything has felt like it's come easy to Burrow. And now suddenly you've got clearly the second best team in the country. And they're perplexing him early. Big spot, big stage, Superdome, home crowd, national championship. I said, boy, this is where he could unravel a little bit mentally. He never forced anything. It wasn't like, I've got to make a play here, so I'm going to put it into double coverage. It's not like he's going to take a risk at blowing everything up. It was, there was a third down, he got flushed out of the pocket and just said, I'm dumping it out of bounds. That's it. Dumping it out of bounds. Live to see another day. And he knew the confidence in himself that the next drive or the next drive after that, I will find the rhythm. I will find the flow. And that told me, wow, he can hit adversity early in a huge spot and it would never rattle him because he knows I will figure this out eventually.
And that was the thing. Every game that we saw the last few weeks or months when you got to the SEC championship, then the playoff, the stage got bigger and bigger and bigger, and he was always unflappable versus big-time defenses. You talked about Venables. Talk about Kirby Smart, what he saw in the SEC title game when you're fit, when you're facing Oklahoma. You're going up. You know, those are big spots, and he's just unflappable every step of the way. I mean, you can't say enough. And that's a guy, by the way, when I'm drafting him, I don't want to hear the game in August that you need to sign a veteran quarterback with him to make sure that maybe Burrow should sit for a month. Joe Burrow is ready to play week one in the NFL if you were playing week one in the NFL tomorrow. That's how perfect he is.
And that offense that LSU runs has a lot of NFL tenets in it. Okay, now it comes from Joe Brady, who was with the New Orleans Saints. But it's not this kind of quirky, weird, total spread Oklahoma or Big 12 offense where you go, okay, there's some elements you can use, but there's a lot of this that you would never work in the NFL. A lot of what they ran were basically New Orleans Saints concepts. So he wasn't running like a funky offense like June Jones at Hawaii or SMU or somewhere. You go, well, you can't really run that offense to the NFL. That offense is run on the NFL quite often, actually.
And to that point on that offense, at 30 years old here, Joe Brady is going to be that next prize
coach. What a star.
I mean, he's absolutely a star, whether he gets a college head coaching job next or whether an NFL team thinks he's going to be McVay and you fly him in. This seems like the next guy who's going to be the next young, great head coach. What he did with Joe Burrow, and as you said, running stuff that could be run both in college and the NFL with that much star power and taking a transfer quarterback that, remember, Justin Fields comes into Ohio State and now Burrow's no good for them. That idea, Joe Brady is going to be the next, whether it's Lincoln Riley, Sean McVay, that is the next shining star of a young coach coming out.
As long as LSU can keep Brady, they've got to do it. They've got to pay him. But I don't know how long you can keep him. Think about the defenses that Burrow did this against. Florida, Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson. I mean, he took on all of the good defenses and shredded them. What a night, what a coronation for a great team, a great quarterback, and a great head coach. So here's your phone number. Let's talk about last night's national championship game, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, would you celebrate a national championship with a ham sandwich?
Puffiness with sodium.
We shall debate and discuss next. DA, it's Mornings Aboard the Mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, we coming for the title. Get crunk, Tiger fans getting bucked. Home games, tell the other team get some. We got the barbecue smoking for the pregame. It's all gravy, everybody get to eat, man. Born champs, dog, it's not even optional. We got the game locked in every sport possible. Cheerleaders cutting flips on the sideline. The dance team getting loose cause it's grind time. And the golden band, they get a crowd chills. Ever been in the stands, you know how it feels. Heavy traffic game, now you know it's going down. Full house every time, about to act a clown. And the game, man, it's boy, you're getting blowed out. You know it's over when you hear this from the whole crowd.
LSU. The LSU Tigers are national champs. That's LSU by Sean Arduin and Blue Da Kid. congrats to Bayou Bengal Nation. 25 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. There are so many ways you can listen to the DA. You can check us out by going to your terrestrial affiliate on the CBS Sports Radio Network anywhere across the country or north of the border. Also on Sirius XM, channel 206 every morning. And you can check us out on your phone. Listen to us using the radio.com app or Apple Music, the CBS Sports app, or watch us, won't you, at watchda.com. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Mike is in Myrtle Beach, listening on 100.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mike.
DA, how you doing today?
I'm good, my man. How you doing?
I'm not so good. Every flag I have driven past this morning is at half mast.
Oh, I could imagine.
Yeah, it's rough down here. It's going to be a tough day.
Yeah, you're in Clemson country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, that over the last 4 years, that bandwagon has just grown and grown.
Oh, I could imagine. And
you can tell I'm from your neighborhood, but they accept me as I am because I wear the orange.
Good.
Here's what I heard yesterday. Totally stood out to me. Joe Burrow is a graduate student who takes classes online. He is in the coach's room all day long. If I knew that, I was picking LSU instead of getting sucked in by the +5.
Yeah. Joe Burrow has had an amazing season and an amazing year. And when I heard of that stat as well earlier in the season, I said, boy, that's kind of interesting. That's a weird definition, a little bit of a college student, that you never actually, he says he never sees any other classmates. He doesn't see any other students. He's just taking his classes online, and he's just going to the film room. So he's kind of a de facto pro anyway. Nothing against it, obviously, because it's well within the rules, and I think a lot of these players don't really have much of an academic background that they focus in on. But yes, Joe Burrow this year was kind of already a pseudo-pro in that he wasn't really part of campus anyway. So after the win, Ed Orgeron, who doesn't love Coach O, was asked by Scott Van Pelt last night at ESPN, how are you going to celebrate tonight? And Ed Orgeron says, well, me and the family going to go out, find ourselves a ham sandwich.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Which is just so perfectly Coach O. Now, Coach O's voice is so remarkable. I feel like listening to Coach Ed Orgeron speak, especially last night before the game, it was like listening to an old furnace in your basement kick on. It's just like... But then to add on to that, saying he's going to celebrate with a ham sandwich... You know, I will defer here to the Prince of Puffiness, the Sultan of Sodium, the Thictator himself, Mraz. Mraz, is that an appropriate celebration to eat a ham sandwich?
Look, I'm not trying to knock ham as an art form, because anything pig-related is going to be delicious.
As an art form,
yeah,
but, of course.
But that being said, you just won the national championship. I mean, you're not sitting down at grandma's house for lunch looking to get the crust cut off. And when you say ham sandwich, it seems so basic.
Mm.
You know, like, if you told me flat out, like, we've, you know, discussed maybe getting a Monte Cristo. I'm going to go get myself. Then you're like, oh, okay.
And what exactly is a Monte Cristo?
Monte Cristo is it's
not Crisco. Cristo.
Cristo. It's ham.
It's a toasted bread, I think.
It's like,
a griddle.
Yeah, it's like a brioche grilled, melted grilled cheese with ham and turkey in it.
Oh, that sounds
and,
good.
And they usually like doing the Gruyere in there as a cheese. But the point is, you know, that if he tells me that he's doing that, that's fine. When he goes basic ham sandwich, look, I'm a sandwich lover. You eat it with your hands.
You once made sandwiches.
Right.
At Subway, you were a sandwich artist.
Right, 10 years hard time. But ultimately, ham is not where you go to first for a sandwich.
Huh.
You know, you go for a turkey, maybe.
Turkey is a better celebration sandwich.
Yeah, I think so. Or a pastrami, a corned beef. Or even though I'm not even a cured meat guy.
Uh-huh.
But if you're going for like a piled high sandwich, something like that. But other than that, if you're going to get like cute and be basic, then just you're in the South, go to Waffle House. Say, I'm going to go celebrate a Waffle House or something like that and get yourself a stack of waffles.
Well, the service at Waffle House can take a long time, especially at night.
Well, what counter is he getting this ham sandwich at at 2 a.m. in New Orleans, Louisiana? I don't understand it. All I'll say is this. Look, I get it. You want to be basic. He's Ed Orgeron. He's simple. You could do better than a ham sandwich when you win the national championship.
Interesting.
Much better.
Okay. What do you think, Bogish? Is a ham sandwich celebratory?
I think the biggest problem is he's going to get a ham sandwich in one of the best eating cities in the world, in New Orleans. You know, he's not in the middle of nowhere where their options are limited. Who knows who's going to put on the ham sandwich? He could certainly spruce it up, make it more delicious.
Like, he could get a signature New Orleans sando, like a muffaletta or something like that.
He could get that, or, you know, he could go to Mama's and get, I think they call it a furdy. It's a huge, and they dip it in gravy. You can get that with ham. Oh. But, like, if he's just getting ham on white bread, I have some issues. As much as I love ham, especially in New Orleans, where there's so many things that are delicious that they only have there that you can go and get.
Yeah, if you can give me some jambalaya or some gumbo or some peel and eat shrimps or some soft shell crab.
Now, again, I don't know at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. if he's getting that anywhere. And maybe that's what, I'm like, is he just going to a gas station getting a pre-wrapped ham sandwich and bringing it home? And also, he talked about, like, enjoying it with his family. If you're forcing your kids to have a ham sandwich at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., when you just won the national championship, I mean, now's the time to go get some boneless wings. I mean, what are you doing? Oh,
boneless wings? Boneless, he a six-year-old?
For you.
That's the part about his kids.
For you, boneless wings is the sign of a king and his kingdom.
Yes, if you get a bunch of boneless wings with blue cheese,
that's a royal meal right
again,
there,
guys. Wow. I'm not talking.
Can I get 12, Daddy? Yeah, we just won the national.
Yes. Right. Again, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. You're not rolling into Ruth's Chris to get the T-bone.
In
New Orleans,
there's plenty of things going on at 1 a.m.
None of them healthy, but
yeah, right. They're liquid options. He's not drinking the ham.
Well, there's probably food options as well as what I would imagine.
Again, probably like a boneless wing.
Well,
or a bayonet.
I like how you keep going back to the boneless wing.
Or
like,
that is the one. That's a gun, so I don't think it's going to.
No, that's the famous donut.
It's a beignet. A bayonet's a gun with a knife on the end.
I love.
Please eat one of those.
I love the Mraz translator that we all need to have in our pockets, because I did not know where he was going with a bayonet. I was just going to blow through that stop sign.
Oh, see, this is what happens. I learned my lesson. You got to every single word. You have to dissect and make sure it's correct after the 3,000.
What is the donut? A beignet.
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 All right.
Yeah, you get your camera there. Let me ask you. Pete the Body Bilotti, is a ham sandwich celebratory?
Yes. If he's happy having it, it's celebratory. Anything that you're happy eating is, have it. That's your celebrations. It's all up to you. If you want to have...
It's a mindset.
Yes. It's a mindset. If you want to have a bowl of cereal and you think that's your way of celebrating, you have the bowl of cereal.
That's very empowering from Pete. So I think this is what we should do. I think we should order ham sandwiches today or something that has to do. You've got to have ham as the focal point. It's on me. Let's buy breakfast. Let's see where you guys go. I want to see what everybody does. Ham as the crux of their breakfast.
All right. Ham. What's hamming up?
Let's ham it up.
I'm in.
I'll get my ham hocks on the phone and call it in.
It's big ham hocks on that phone.
Yeah. I'll call the pork store.
Okay.
Don't be a ham.
Yeah.
Check if they have bayonets, too. That would be a delicious app.
I would like some ham on a bayonet or maybe a B&A. Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Those headlines are sponsored by Progressive. Progressive makes it easy to compare quotes and get a great rate with the Home Quote Explorer only at Progressive.com. It certainly seemed not exactly like Sunday in Arrowhead, but last night in Superdome had this similar feel.
Hand off Dixon. On the end around, though, he'll flip it to T. Higgins. He's got blocking. Outside the numbers, left side. 40, 25, 20, 15. Inside the 10, the 5.
Yeah.
Into the end zone. Did he step out of bounds? No. Touchdown. Higgins scores. And Clemson extends the lead to 16-7.
Don Munson on the Clemson Tigers Network. Much like the Texans, 24-0 start against the Chiefs. Clemson built an early 17-7 lead on LSU last night, but then, like the Chiefs, those Tigers woke up in a hurry, scoring the final 21 points of the second quarter. Two touchdowns from Joe Burrow's right arm and one from his legs.
You can't hold us down for forever. You know, I think we're too explosive. Our coaches are too good. Our players are too good. Our O-line is too good.
Burrow finished with 463 yards, 5 TD throws, and that run. His offense put 628 yards on a Clemson unit, averaging just 264 per game entering the night.
How much?
They average, they give up 264 on average. Last night, they gave up 628.
I mean, think about
almost that. 400 more yards than usual.
They almost tripled the normal yardage output against the Clemson Tigers.
And they did almost nothing in the first quarter.
Right.
I think it was 269 in the second quarter by itself. So that tops their game average.
So they almost hit 600 yards of offense in three quarters.
Yeah.
Against one of the best defenses in football in Clemson.
Yep, exactly.
My God.
It ends a 42-25 final, and NOLA LSU wins its fourth national title, first since 2007. Burrow adds the championship to his Heisman Trophy while becoming the first FBS QB to throw 60 TDs in a season. Counterpart Trevor Lawrence, just 18 for 37, 234 yards. His lone touchdown was on the ground. Lawrence's last loss was in high school, but don't worry, Trev.
He's not going to lose many. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. He ain't going to lose many. He's going to be a hard guy to beat forever.
Dabo Swinney's team was on a 29-game win streak.
Trevor Lawrence had never lost a college football game
that
as a starter.
Correct.
And I wonder if he did win states in high school at some point. I'm sure he did. That means he probably has gone 3 or 4 years without losing a football game as a starting quarterback.
And I know that Clemson hadn't lost in 742 days. I didn't see an actual timestamp on him. But, yeah, he did not lose his last high school game, I don't think. So
if he went undefeated in one state his senior year, it's possible Trevor Lawrence has not lost a football game since his junior year of high school. He's a junior in college. Well,
he's a sophomore, yeah.
But he's had a year of redshirt, right?
True, yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't.
No, he was a true freshman.
He was a true freshman last year.
So now we get to those cheating Astros. GM Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch suspended without pay for a season, then fired by the team, all for failing to stop their squad from stealing signs illegally in 2017 and 18. Neither man, though, was involved in actually creating or running the system. Former bench coach Alex Cora and then player Carlos Beltran were. Cora will be punished after MLB investigates his Red Sox team for cheating in 2018. Beltran, the Mets' new manager, avoids punishment because no players are being punished for this. A quick trip now through yesterday's NFL coaching news. The Browns formally hiring Kevin Stefanski as head coach. The Bears reportedly going with Bill Lazor as offensive coordinator, but Matt Nagy will continue to call plays. And the Jaguars surprisingly dumped OC John DeFilippo after just one season. Anthony Davis missed his third game in a row last night with that bruised
Beckle.
Side, so Dwight Howard stepped up.
KCP moving left. Still moving left. Dwight Howard for three. Why not? They're all going in. 117-92. 21 in the game for Dwight.
John Ireland, Lakers radio. Howard, season highs, 21 points, 15 boards in a 128-99 rout of the Cavs. LeBron scored 31 against his former team. The Blazers got by the Hornets, 115-112. The Celtics handled the Bulls, 113-101. And the Thunder, a 117-104 win in Minnesota. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 20 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists. The youngest player ever with a 20-20 triple-double. Gonzaga remains number one in the AP College Hoops poll for a fourth consecutive week. Baylor is now number two after Saturday's blowout win at Kansas. The Bears actually got one more first-place vote than the Zags. And on ice last night, the Capitals blanked the Hurricanes 2-0. Both those goals from Alex Ovechkin, who is now just four goals behind Mario Lemieux for 10th all-time. DA?
Thank you, Andrew. So last night, LSU gets a historic victory over Clemson. Here's your phone number to weigh in on that at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. As we break that down from last night, is this the greatest quarterback season ever? Joe Burrow. If you got another candidate, I'd like to hear it. But what we just watched Burrow do against all of the elite competition that he played is absolutely staggering. Leaves you flabbergasted. And last night after the first quarter, he just took off like a rocket. So we're talking about that this morning. Also, the Astros in major hot water. The punishments handed down, and Rob Manfred dropped the hammer. So when we come back here on the show, let's discuss, is the Astros 2017 World Series championship tainted? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? get it out.
You're out of breath? You want to go to Canton and you're winded? You're winded? That's your job. You're paid not to be winded. You can't use your winded, you're out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Winded? 45 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The DA show is available in video form in the best of. Just go to YouTube. Go to the CBS Sports Radio YouTube page, and you will find the very best of the DA show every single day in video form. Check it out. Binge watch the DA on YouTube. Jonathan tweets, on a trash Tuesday, I'm trashing all of this boneless wing talk by Mraz. There are no boneless wings. It's just called chicken nuggets. I'm trashing any annoying commercial about all-you-can-eat boneless wings. Take your overpriced chicken nuggets and start a dumpster fire. Hashtag grown up in the room.
Are those maggots?
Show me a chicken nugget that thick with that many ripples. Show me it. Show me it. I'm begging you.
Well,
because you're handheld in your chicken doesn't make it a chicken nugget.
But it's not a wing either, because that doesn't mean it's not on the bone.
DA, of course, but do you know how many more chickens would need to be produced in this country? There's only two wings per chicken. And how many wings are we eating? The boneless allows that to diversify and take some of the breast off.
Okay.
But it's not a nugget.
So you support boneless wings because they're environmentally friendly. They're sustainable.
Yes. It's like going green.
Okay.
It's like charging you for a plastic bag. You get a boneless wing that helps support the chickens. We don't need monster chickens being grown. There's only, two wings per cluck.
Got it. Okay. So in this case, basically we're leaving less of a carbon footprint because we're eating boneless wings.
Correct. It's look, I mean, we could talk about everything that's going on with the environment these days. You eat boneless wings, you're helping society. A B&A?
The biggest problem in Australia, not enough boneless wings.
I know there are other bigger problems, but boneless wings are going to help society long term in the environment and culture.
Help culture. It's going to help culture. So the Houston Astros just got dinged. Rob Manfred, hands down, the punishment. And boy, it is a monster. GM Jeff Luhnow, manager AJ Hinch, both suspended for a year. The Astros docked their first two rounds of draft picks, their first and second round picks, both this year and 2021, and the Houston Astros fined a record $5 million.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Quickly after the punishments were handed down, the Astros owner Jim Crane fired both Luhnow and AJ Hinch. Now, I have to admit, I did not think that was coming. Now, some other people said that was inevitable. And maybe upon retrospect, I suppose it is. Because if you do not fire them, you have an entire year of going through the motions until your regular guys get back. And every single day of the year, if those two guys are still employed, you're dealing with the aftermath and the questions about it. And once they are actually reinstated in 2021, you're then dealing with all the questions, the speculation about if they clean things up, if they are properly remorseful, what are they doing to change their ways, yada, yada, yada. So by firing them, Jim Crane basically said, okay, that era is over, and now we start fresh. So I guess in some ways it was inevitable. The reason that I did not think it was going to happen was because Luhnow and AJ Hinch have been remarkably successful. And owners usually don't want to upset the apple cart with a manager that has won a World Series and gone to another, and a general manager that has helped build a World Series champion and gone to another. But Crane has shown that he is acting swiftly and aggressively. So let's ask a bigger question here. Did baseball get it right? Yeah. Yes. I think if you're an Astros fan, you might be saying, yeah, but DA, there was widespread gray areas that a lot of teams were possibly pushing the boundaries of. That might be true. But here's why you can't let the Astros get off easily. Is because Manfred put out two specific memos in two consecutive years of you can't do this. He sent out a memo in 2017. He sent out a memo in 2018. And technology has blurred the lines of what is legal and what is not and how do you use it. But once Manfred sent out a memo, hey, you can't do this. You can't use technology to steal signs. And he sent it out in 2017 after Apple Watches and 2018 again. If they were continuing to break the rules upon two different memos, the Astros needed to take it in the kisser. And that's what happened. So I think that this is a huge deterrent. This is Manfred saying, clean it up, everybody. And I don't blame him for coming down hard. And I think it was the right thing. Legacy question? Does this taint the 2017 Houston Astros World Series? The answer is undoubtedly yes. I mean, think about what the narrative used to be about the Astros. What a feel-good story. The Astros were terrible. 100 losses for multiple years in a row, the worst team in baseball. Nobody showing up to the games. Nobody watching on TV because they had a terrible cable deal. A desolate wasteland for baseball. And they turned it into a World Series champion within 3 years by drafting impeccably well and developing. And it turned out to pay huge dividends. The process in baseball. And they built them into a machine. Win the World Series 2017, ALCS 2018, back to the World Series game number 7 2019. They've been the most consistent great team in baseball. And now their manager, their GM, got suspended for a year and immediately dismissed in the wake of a massive cheating scandal. Yeah, it's tainted. It's not a feel-good story anymore, I'll tell you that much. Now, Astros fans might say, I don't care. I'll take it. I'll sacrifice the next 10 years of my baseball as long as I got that championship and that parade, and that's fine. But in terms of how we look at the 2017 Astros, it's not a feel-good story anymore. I mean, Mraz, I think you're probably a little more tainted than most because your Yankees were one of the victims of the Astros, and so now you think that the Yankees should be bestowed upon them the World Series championship.
Yeah, specifically because the 2017 ALCS, the Yankees won all three home games and lost all four games where the Astros were cheating at home. So, yeah, undoubtedly the Yankees deserved that World Series in 2017.
Okay, but you'd still have to play the Dodgers
right,
in the World Series.
But again, the Dodgers lost a home game to the Astros. So to me, the Astros couldn't have cheated there. So as far as I'm concerned, since we got robbed in that scenario, it's very clear the Yankees are the World Series champions.
Very clear.
Yeah.
Okay. But it does taint this championship.
How can it not?
It has to.
How can it not? For everybody in baseball that wants to throw shade at all the record books with steroid users and don't want to put them in the Hall of Fame and talk about juiced up championships and all of that, this is legitimately cheating the game. At least you could argue it was steroid users versus steroid users in that era. This, to me, is actually worse because you are doing something that maybe three other teams could have been doing.
And it's organizational.
And it's right. It starts from the top down. And the moment, you know, Lou Now and Hinch are talking, throwing everybody else under the bus but themselves too.
Boy, they're all throwing each other under the bus, aren't they?
It sounded like me producing the overnight show. There's absolutely no blame to go around. It's ridiculous.
No accountability.
No accountability.
Mraz circa 2013. No accountability whatsoever. None inside the Astros organization. Is the Astros championship tainted? Hit me up on the phones, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we come back at a Trash Tuesday, does Dabo look bad this morning? DA, Morning Mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.